Shalom, saints. God bless you this evening. Welcome to our Bible study for the evening. Good to see everybody who's joining in. I think YouTube has started up there as well. So God bless you to the saints that are on YouTube. Good to see each and every one who's joining us today. So hopefully the Lord will help us as we go along to fellowship around the principles of the Word of God. So today, saints, we've got a topic which maybe makes me a little bit nervous because we want to continue on with this issue of music, but we need to dig a little bit into the principles of music, dig a little bit into certain things. And this is going to involve us showing some principles on by video, because I think a lot of these things, you can't really just speak about them. We've got to show them. We've got to demonstrate them as well. So I'm using Keynote on my Mac. It's going to have to link into YouTube, so we might jump backwards and forwards a little bit. Technology is always a challenge in these kind of things. Good to see everybody there, Sister Priya, and all the saints that are there, and everybody's joining in. God bless you, saints. Brother Sasha as well. So, saints, what we wanted to have a look at today is we wanted to look at this particular thought, the devil's heartbeat. Now, where this title came from, I was studying up just on music and the different principles of music and the origins of rock music and so forth. And you found out continually the analogy is brought to the beat of rock music being like a heartbeat, you know, the throbbing beat of rock music. And I just wrote it in the margin of the thing that I was reading. And I said, it's the devil's heartbeat. And then just turned over a couple of pages and I found out that somebody had actually written a book called Rock Music, the Devil's Heartbeat. So I just thought maybe it was just a thing. But what we wanted to have a look at, obviously, we've been trying to get to, saints. We don't just want theory. We want to just make sure our music is kosher. People ask me, what is kosher? Kosher means, is it acceptable to the Lord? Like a Jewish person, not allowed to eat pork. You want to make sure that what you're eating is in accordance with the will of God. It's pleasing to the Lord. It's not harmful to yourself. It's not harmful to your family. So the end result, I don't think we'll finish up today. Maybe next week we'll finish. But you wanted just to be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves about our music. I've got to be honest with you, saints, in this last week when I've been studying deeper on this. A few years back, we went out and had a music weekend with the musicians, song leaders at Avoca. When I came back from there, I threw away quite a lot of my music that I had, my Christian music. It's like I purged a lot of the leaven. And then just while I was going through this again, just this week, I really went back through my music collection once again, and I just saw, yes, it's very easy to pick up music, which if you really had to be sincere and genuine, it's not something that would be pleasing to the Lord. So I just purged that leaven. And now I know getting onto these kind of topics, it's sensitive topics to certain people. You don't win popularity contests by speaking about music. I know that people, these are the golden cows, the golden calves that certain people have. And, you know, this is sacred ground. You know, don't speak about my music and so forth. We're not trying to do that. What we're trying to do, we're not trying to get to any specific style or genre of music. We're not trying to hit any particular people. We're trying to understand principles. And if the Lord could help us to understand that, what makes kosher music? What makes wholesome music? And what makes music that we shouldn't listen to? Because there's a dividing line here somewhere. There's different categories of music. So we just wanted the Lord to help us, to give us the discernment, the understanding, to study the enemy a little bit, to study our weapons a little bit, so we can ourselves come to an understanding scripturally and even just in the principles that even natural people in this world have seen for themselves, of what is right and what is wrong in our music. You know, then you yourself as an individual, led by the Holy Ghost, the power of discernment in your experience, under the headship of Christ, you make your own decision about your music collection, about the kind of music you want to play. So we're just trying to just sensitize things a little bit, try to give a little bit of guidance on this, bring some basic rules, some guidelines to this, so that we'll understand, you know, the differences between different types of music. And then by the grace of God, once we finish that, I hope that it'll be helpful that we can make sound scriptural judgments that please the Lord. That's what we want. You know, I'm not going to come into your house and say, let me see your phone. You know, I'm not going to come in and say, give me your CD collection or give me your MP3 player. I mean, we don't do that. We don't do we leave this to the leadership of the Lord, but may the Lord help us to be better equipped and to put on the whole armor of God. So let's just pray before we approach this. Father, as we approach this topic, how we ask of you for grace and mercy, Lord. Firstly, that you'll keep every one of us under the blood upon this evening as we look at these things, and that you'll grant us, Lord, of your mercy and your grace. I pray that you'll bless the technology. May all go well in the way we present this upon this day. May you help us. May you grant us an understanding heart. May you grant us wisdom and leadership and grace, Lord, and may you be glorified. Jesus, we look to you. Help us now fellowship with us in these things we ask, that your will may be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. So anybody's joined in, God bless you. We're looking at this thought. Is your music kosher? And in order to understand this, we need to have a look. And what we're really looking at is rock music. You know, what is rock music? What are the different... rock music came in the 1950s. Before that, old people, young people basically listened all to the same music. But when rock music came in the 1950s with Elvis Presley, and then in the 60s with the Beatles, and moving on and breaking up into all the different categories now with rap and with reggae and with, you know, pop music and whatever genre, dance, rave, whatever types of music you want to speak about, hip hop, it all comes down to the same foundation of music. And that's what you want to show, is this all traces back to a common ancestor, which is rock music, which came in the 1950s and has swept the world in all of these different genres of music. It's so attractive. And we need to understand what makes rock music so attractive. And as we'll see, it is literally addictive. It's not just saying that figuratively. Rock music in its essence and by its effect on the human body is addictive. And Satan knows this well. That's how we laid a bit of a foundation last week. So despite the fact that the vast majority of rock music is anti-Christian in its message, it's rebellious music in its essence, you find that it's swept the world, and you find so many Christian people as well will listen to this kind of music. So what is it that makes this music so popular? That's what you need to try to find out. What makes rock music so popular? It's long lasting. It's lasted for these 70 years or, you know, 60 something years, and it's just becoming more and more popular as time goes by. It's overwhelmingly popular. If you have a look at different music tastes and what people listen to, this is different countries in the world, you find this is a universal thing. Right from Mexico, there you'll find like the first column, 52% of people listen to pop music, 51% listen to rock, because obviously people listen to different types of music, and on and on and on. And if you have a look there, you're going to find these percentages are really, really big. Your pop music, your rock or alternative or indie music, hip hop, R&B music, dance, electronic music, world music. You're going to find a lot of this music. People listen to so many different types of rock music. And all of this music, we can lump it under rock music, which started as rock and roll. So it's universal in its appeal because it ministers to something. So is it the music that makes it popular? Or is it the lyrics? Now we're going to see that generally speaking, what makes rock music so popular is not its lyrics, it's the music. Now, this is exactly the opposite of Christian or genuine gospel music. Now, to us, the most important thing about the music we listen to is the lyrics. You know, it's good sometimes, instrumental, obviously, that's good as well. You know, the melody, the harmony of the music is important. It's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's got to be wholesome music. But to us, the most important thing that really makes a song memorable to us is the words of the song. That word, that song, it ministered to you in a certain way at a certain time. You're going to find that is exactly the opposite with rock music. Very few people go to a rock concert to listen to the words. You don't even hear the words at a rock concert. Very few people will go to the club or a place like that because of the lyrics of the songs. It's not, it's the music. It's the beat of the music. That is what makes it so very, very popular. So we need to have a look at the structure first of this kind of music, rock music, and then the effects of rock music. So like I said, I'm going to have to show some videos. Some of it's going to be worldly music. So I'm just giving a warning now because we can't demonstrate this kind of music and show some of these things without showing the real thing on here. You know, most of the time I've tried to choose Christian rock musicians just to keep it in some sense Christian, you know, to show some of these things. But there's going to be times where you can't do that. You're going to have to show some of it. And even for our young people, just for them to see, we're not wanting them to taste of this. This is darkness and this is evil. And even in researching these things, you really feel you need a bath afterwards because of just watching a few minutes of different things. It's just a dark kind of music, a dark world that this music dwells in. So we need to look at the structure first and then the effects of rock music, if the Lord will help us. So the basic music elements, the structure of rock music, including Christian rock music, of volume, repetition, and beat. These are the three things that make up the basic elements of rock music. Volume. Rock music is not rock music when it's quiet. Rock concerts are not quiet. Music concerts are not quiet. Raves and clubs are not quiet venues. This music has to be played at a volume, and you will understand why. The second thing is repetition. We'll get onto that just now. And the third thing is beat that goes along with repetition. These three things together make a deadly combination to this natural man that we live in. So because of this, volume, repetition, and beat, it is a music designed not to be heard, but to be felt. And that is what it is. This is music that's a rhythm, it's a beat. It's music that's to be felt, not to be heard. So as we said, the lyrics are not so important. Now, this is a Christian band, would you believe? I'm going to have to play it on YouTube just to show rock music. Okay. I hope you could hear that. Can you just put up your hand if you could definitely hear that music? Thanks, just to make sure that it's working. So I think you can see from there, when we're speaking of rock music, we're going to see this volume and there's a certain rhythm, certain beat, and it's a repetition. We need to understand this a little bit deeper so we can distinguish between this and kosher music. But that kind of beat, I'll just play a little bit more. Just listen to the beat. And you'll notice one thing, it's dominated by drums and it's dominated by electric guitars. It's screeching music. And even when the singers sing, generally speaking, when they're singing, they're not singing with, you know, soothing tones, melodies, harmonies like that. They sing with screeching voices, loud voices, you know, many, many times, especially when you get into the deeper and deeper aspects of this music. So the lyrics are secondary to the music. It's absolutely got to be the case. Take the music away and you don't have rock music anymore because it's rock music. And even in the design of the music, I was reading up on it, the guidelines when they train people to write rock music, you know, the pioneers of the music, the first thing they do is they do the timing of the music, like they do the beat, the rhythm, and then they put the lyrics on at the end. So the first thing they're trying to determine is the sound of the music, the beat, the throbbing of the music. And then they add the music, the words onto the music at the end, which is exactly the opposite of the way you do it as a Christian. Like Brother George there, or Brother Jesse, anyway, Brother James Glube, anybody who writes a song as a Christian, even the hymn writers of the past, you catch the inspiration of the words first. Yeah, you catch an inspiration, and now you seek the Lord to give you music suitable to the words. So you're going to find in rock music, everything is upside down. Everything is done the opposite way than normal music. Why? Because this is fallen music. This is literally Satan's heartbeat, as we say. This is, you know, music that comes from a really fallen dimension. It's a perversion of real music. So it follows exactly the opposite rules that you find in normal music. And like I say, the basic instruments, it's going to be amplified. It's got to be volume. It's going to be electric guitars, electric bass, drum sets, with, you know, which dominate behind the scenes, and synthesizers, keyboards, you know, these kind of things, really, really loud. Those are the basic instruments that you have. Now, I suppose in essence, there's nothing sinful in any of those instruments in themselves. Although I don't really reckon that we should play loud electric guitars and those kind of things in church. We'll see it. as we get into looking at music in heaven and music in the book of Revelation and so forth, we'll see what are the instruments that God really desires in the temple, the synagogue, and Paul, what he speaks of in the New Testament. He points us to certain classes of instruments, but Satan loves the drums. Satan loves the electric guitars. These are the ones in themselves. There's nothing wrong with them, like I say, but these are the ones put together with the volume makes a really, really strange kind of music. So the defining characteristics of good music now, if you wanted to try to find wholesome music, is there's a balance among three basic elements. First, melody. The melody is the most important thing in good music. Secondly, harmony. And thirdly, you put your rhythm, you put your beat and all that kind of stuff behind. So we've got to have all of these elements in good music. And when these things, good music is put together and these things are kept in the right balance, it is God's gift to us, good music. It ministers to you. It ministers to your spirit. It refreshes you. And like we said last week, it gives glory to God. Because the ultimate aim of music is to give glory to God and the refreshment of the human spirit. So the Lord knows that we are musical beings. Heaven is filled with music. Angels are musical beings. So the Lord knows we are musical beings, and music ministers to us. The right kind of music with the right balance, with melody, harmony, and rhythm together makes something very, very sweet. Now, let me just play a little bit of, I'll show you just because I want to just show some of these musicians how they change from one genre to another. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Peace be to you. When Messiah comes. Okay, so there's a nice piece of music. You know, you can tell the balance is there. The most important thing on that is what? Is the lyrics, the words of that song, trying to put something across. And you find the music suits that. Now, the music really, really fits in. There's the right rhythm. There's the right, the melody is there nice. And then you got your harmony between your rhythm and your melody. The lyrics are there. It's a good voice. Now, so you find that's kind of not saying all music like it has to be slow. Good music can be fast. Good music can be, you know, you can be energetic. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as the right balance in music, that's really what you're looking for. So rock music now inverts this order. It makes rhythm the dominant element, then harmony, and then melody. So it puts the most important thing to rock music is the beat. It's that incessant heartbeat. That's going to drive all rock music. And that is the fingerprint. That is Satan's heartbeat. You're going to pick rock music straight away. It might be soft rock. It might be pop rock. It might be gospel rock, whatever that it's going to be. But you're going to find this particular element is always there. The most dominant feature in the music is its rhythm, is the beat behind. That's going to be your drums and the different things that are playing behind the scenes. It's what makes rock music is this heavy emphasis on beat. Yeah, that distinguishes it from all other types of music. That's like the heart and soul of it. That gives it its energy. You're going to find that as you have a look. Now, I'm going to play the same singer, Paul Wilbur. Now, listen to him now when he plays rock music almost on the same album, you know, which I always find is a sad thing. See the drums? You see the drums coming in there? Can you see the beat is driving the song now? So it may be toned down. It might not be AC/DC or Def Leppard or all of these other guys from the world, but that's definitely rock music beat. That's now not just normal music. That's now rock music. He's really got himself playing rock music. Then he brings the Jewish element in there. So it's a mixture of things, but you can tell by that beat in the background, doof, 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 driving it, that's rock music. You find that is the signature. As we go through it, you'll understand it more and more by the grace of God. So this is the fundamental problem with rock music. its relentless beat. I'm quoting here from a psychologist. Its relentless beat dominates the music and produces a hypnotic effect. When you get a relentless beat, doof, 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 loud, it does something to you. It alters your state of consciousness. This has been medically proved thousands of times on thousands of studies, the effect of rock music on people. It can put you into a semi-trance. You listen to loud beat, 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 beat like that continually. It affects you mentally. It affects you physically. It does something to you. And that is why it says this is an important reason why rock music affects the body in a way that is unlike any other type of music, is this unique character of the rock beat. It's got a unique beat, usually referred to as the off beat. Now, Brother Max Jr., when he went away to our music camp some years back, we asked him to explain this to us. He did a good job. You know, he's not here with us, unfortunately. So I'm just going to show you a little clip here of different types of music and their beat. You'll understand this. This off beat, this rock beat is different than any other kind of music. Now, we're going to have a look. I couldn't find like the one I wanted, but this one here shows us drums playing a waltz beat. Normally, music has like four beats. This is like a three-beat waltz, I think they call it, or something. And you'll find, listen to the type of beat of a waltz, and then we'll get on to having a listen to rock music and its beat.
Today, we're going to look at the waltz. Now, the waltz is specifically a rhythm that is always in 3-4, which means you have three quarter note beats in each bar.
Today, I'm going to show you how to play a basic...
Sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm going to have to go one back here. Okay, sorry, I'm going to have to start that again there and go a little bit.
Today, we're going to look to note beats in each position of this groove is going to be the bass and the snare. And as I said, the emphasis is on beat one, on the downbeat. And that's good.
Okay, so he's telling us something important. He's saying that when you're playing a waltz beat, the emphasis is on the first beat. He's going to demonstrate that to us. We'll understand why that's important as we go along. Oh, sorry. That's my mistake again. I keep pressing the space bar.
Today, we're going to look at... And that's going to be the bass drum. Now, the snare drum is going to play on beat two and beat three. So you'll have bass, snare, snare, bass, snare, snare, bass, snare, snare. Sort of like a pa-pa, pa-pa, pa-pa feel.
Okay, so there's different types of music. That's a waltz. So you'll see that the emphasis is on the first boof, the boom, dun, dun, boom, dun, dun, boom, dun, dun. That's normal music. The emphasis is on the first beat. No matter which type of normal music you find, like rational music, until rock music came, that was the standard way of playing music. Now let's have a look to see what rock music does. Rock music now reverses this common order of the beat, places the emphasis on what is known as the offbeat. So where here you have bum tan tan, bum tan tan. You got your main beat and you got two offbeats. Bum tan tan. Rock music puts the emphasis on the offbeat. It goes dum boosh, dum boosh, dum boosh. And you're going to find that this is very important the way that it's designed. So here's somebody going to show us about the rock beat now.
Today I'm going to show you how to play a basic rock beat. The hi-hat pattern that we're going to play is simply counted 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and played, it would sound like this. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2.
You see, the emphasis is on the second beat. It's not on the first. It's dum-tch, dum-tch, dum-tch. Okay.
I'm going to put the snare drum on beats 2 and 4 of that. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
Okay, so we're starting to understand what a rock beat is. So let's understand what they say. This is the opposite. This is a psychiatrist now explaining what this does. This is the opposite of the so-called dactylic or waltz-like beat, which we listened to just now, which reflects the heartbeat and other rhythms of the body. So your heartbeat is doomed, doomed, doomed. You know, so waltz and all those other kinds of music which have gone on before through the centuries, or classical music and that, the beat of the music worked in harmony with the rhythm of your human body, with your human heartbeat. So, you know, it's not something that's working against your body. It's something that's working together with it. So you can listen to that kind of music, normal music, and the beat, the rhythm of the music, you can rest with it because it's working in harmony, in sequence with the way that the body works. But because rock music does it in the opposite way, rock music is discordant music. It's not playing a chord, it's playing a discord in essence. You find the beat of the music is the opposite of your body's rhythm. So what your heartbeat is, rock music is playing exactly the opposite of your heartbeat. So when your heart is beating at a normal pace, now this volume and beat is coming at an opposite, in discord to your human heartbeat, it does something to your body. It does something to the rhythms of the body. Good music, this is what they say, follows exact mathematical rules, which cause the mind to feel comforted, encouraged, and safe. So when you're making music with works in harmony with the way that we are made, the way that God made us, it might not even be Christian music, it can be classical music, but if it's good music, if the form of the music, the harmony is there, you know, you got your melody, you got your harmony, everything is in balance in the music. If there's an orderly structure in the music, your body can feel that. Your body can be ministered to just by the frequency that's inside of that music. Just the frequency of the music ministering to the frequency inside of your body, it can be very wholesome to you. Now, we're not speaking on the Christian side once you get the anointing involved in all those, which makes it a much higher level, but just natural music, written well by somebody who knows what they're doing when they're writing music, it ministers to somebody. It makes you feel comfortable, you know, comforted. You feel encouraged. You feel safe. But that's not what rock music does. Rock music, because it works in a discordant way, it works contrary to the rhythms of your brain. It works contrary to the rhythms of your heart. It works contrary to the rhythms of your body. It produces an aggressive effect inside of you. It's a measurable effect. Go and put rock music on, listen to it. You're going to find your heartbeat will be increased by approximately 10 beats per minute automatically. Your heart's just going to start beating much faster. They can see the brain signals, the signals in the brain, that certain chemicals will see it are released and so forth. The body feels under threat because this is discord. This is something that's not ministering to the body. This is something which is against the natural rhythm of the body. So the body starts to react against it. So you don't feel safe. So musicians have found that when they go against these rules of harmony and so forth, these mathematical rules of music, the listener experiences an addictive high. So what happens is because this music, especially at a loud volume, it affects you in three ways. Firstly, let's have a look. Neuroscientists, now these guys, big guys, provided a concise explanation of how the rock beat affects firstly your muscles, it affects you naturally, your physical body, secondly, your mind, and thirdly, your hormones. So this effect of this music on you, it affects you physically, is a natural, without you even realizing it, there's a natural physical reaction in your body. There's something takes place in your brain, measurable in your brain waves and in your hormones. So the first one is in the muscle coordination. This is what it says. Muscle coordination and control become synchronized with the basic beat. So your muscle coordination and your control automatically links into the beat of the music. That's how you'll find somebody, their foot just starts tapping to the beat of the music. You find you take a young child, Brother Wilmer spoke of it the other day, that he had little Hezekiah there and something came on YouTube. Then an advert came on and it had serious rock music on it or something. And Hezekiah started now to move to the music. It's just natural. The muscles start to move synchronized to that beat. It's the animal instinct inside of us. And rock music knows that and taps into that. Let me show you one here. Now, this is a rock concert. Watch how these people behave with this rock music. Like I say, this is not good music sense. I'm going to skip it forward a bit, but it's just important for us to understand this principle. This is Metallica. Saints, can you feel what that music does to your body? It does something. I mean, that music just, it's aggressive kind of music. That beat. And look how the people start to behave.
Shalom, Pastor. Somehow the video, we can't see it.
Oh, you can't see the video. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Saints. You can't see it. Let me try to see if I can fix it. Can you see it now?
I think you might have to share your whole screen instead of maybe just sharing the slide.
Okay, how do I do that, Brother Willie?
If you stop sharing and then start sharing again, just select to share the whole screen.
Okay, does it say down here somewhere?
I think it says basic. If you click on share and then...
It's got advanced there, yeah?
Yeah, no. So you do basic and then select screen.
Okay, because it shows my different desktops in that there.
Yes. So you need to go the... And then click on share sound as well.
Okay, I can see share sound. Okay.
So usually the very top... Topmost corner one.
Okay, can you see now?
Yes.
Okay. So can you see with rock music, when it's speaking about repetition, speaking about volume, it's speaking about beat. Now, friends, that is serious music. I mean, now we're not saying that all rock music is extreme because there's different levels now. You get more soft rock and stuff. But the basic principle of what this beat of rock music does to your body, to your mind, even to your hormones is exactly the same. You're going to find no matter what type, even if it's Christian rock, if you take that kind of music and put Christian words to it, it makes absolutely no difference to the reaction you're going to have. I was reading a testimony of somebody who went to a Christian music concert in I think it was in one of the Russian countries in the days of the Soviet Union. And the musician came and he only played English. He sang in English. Nobody else understood English. He started playing a Christian song that he used Elvis Presley's music to. And as soon as he started playing it, even with Christian words, the people immediately started dancing the same way that people did for Elvis Presley. You know, so you find that music itself, people say music is neutral. Music is not neutral. You know, music is a medium that transmits something. There's a rhythm and a beat, and there's an essence behind this kind of music that is very incompatible with the gospel. So we can't take this kind of music and bring it into a church setting, give Christian words to it, and think it's going to become all of a sudden holy. It's discordant music. It's like an anomaly. It's like they say, even mathematically, it doesn't, even the music of it, it's not an orderly kind of a music. And straight away, fallen man feels that, as we saw it last time. Now, I'm hoping I'm able to get back to my slides. And please tell me if you can see my slides when I put this up. Can you see the slides now? Yeah. Okay, brainwave activity. Good stuff. Okay, thanks, Brother Will, for that. So, the first thing it does, you see the way the people react to that music. I mean, you just go to a club and see the way the people react. Somebody who's a real, real shy person, let the music start getting into them. Let them start feeling the music. And you see them behaving in ways that you never would have believed. There's something about rock music, that beat of the music. Now, the second thing, brainwave activity aligns with the rhythm as well. You know, so your brain just starts kicking into that rhythm. Bum, bum, bum. When somebody is preaching or when you want to sing something which has got words, the spoken word, it has to pass through the brain, right through your brain, to be interpreted, translated. Your brain screens it now to make sure, is this what I really want to accept? That's not the same with music, especially rock music. Pounding music like that bypasses your brain. It just goes and to the sensory part of your brain and starts to affect your brain in that kind of a way. So a person can easily get so much into this kind of music that they start doing things they never thought they would have done. I think I might have an example a bit further on. Now, the third thing that rock music does, it produces certain hormones. Now, this is where you'll find it if you go to clubs and that especially. The immorality that comes with this kind of music. Because this music, this beat, this rhythm, this repetition, the effect it has, you start to secrete various hormones, specifically opiates, which are the pleasure hormones, which are very addictive. That's how people get addictive to rock music, because rock music, rock concerts, getting yourself in that loud environment, it releases a pleasure hormone into your body. Yeah, the opiate, same as opium. Secondly, sex hormones. That's why you'll find that, we won't go much into that, but you'll find that's why there's so much immorality that goes together with this particular type of music. These hormones are released, it says, as a result of the synchronization with the rhythm. Because of the rhythm, it causes your body to react in this kind of a way. Look at these girls here. If you can't see it, please let me know. This is at an Elvis Presley concert. Now, these are young girls. You'd never expect them to behave in the way you're going to see. But have a look at the effect of this kind of music just when it was coming in the 1950s. Can you see that, Saints? Yeah, good, okay. Imagine, you would never ever believe that young girls like that would behave like that. Can you see this music? It does something. It causes this animal reaction, causes these hormones, causes this brain activity. All of this has been measured so many countless times in medical studies, psychological studies, that this music is harmful just in its beat, just in its rhythm. Before you get into the spirit behind the music, the very type of music, rock music, is harmful because it's discordant music. And that discordant music working opposite to the rhythms of your body causes your body to react in a certain way, and you start to release certain hormones. Your body starts reacting in a certain way. Your heart starts to race. Then you start getting more aggressive in your behavior. All of these things have been measured time and time again. So that's what it does to you in that way. What about, sorry, I'll come out of there back in again. What about the effects on the mind now? So let's look at this a little bit deeper. It affects the mental processes. Yeah. There's so many studies that go and speak about it. But just to show this, you take rock music, take the song Amazing Grace. And let's sing it at church. And we get into Amazing Grace. And you know what that song means to you. Take those same lyrics, Amazing Grace, put them to a rock beat. And that song, Amazing Grace, is going to have a very different effect on people. Yeah, because the words now do not synchronize with the type of music that's being played. But when you take rock music and you take rebellion, you take rebellion against your parents, rebellion against society. You take sexuality, sensuality, which it's so full of. It goes together with that beat. You know, you find that this is something inside that happens inside of the mind. So they say that the music, rock music, is dominated. You'll find it in all this kind of music we're listening to, by a relentless rhythmic beat and a general loudness. And it's designed like that to penetrate the bodies of the listeners with emotional stimulation, while disconnecting, at least in part, the master brain. So this music is designed. Satan knew it, and the musicians know it. They can so minister to people, not in the intellect, not in your soul, but in the animal part of a person. They can actually bypass certain things inside of the brain, just get down to it, and you see the way those girls are behaving, and you'll understand that, that something has really, really ministered these young people of that. And this is regardless of the genre of rock music that we're speaking about, because it's the same beat, it's the same discord, it's the same structure of music behind it, no matter how you tone it down, no matter how you lengthen it out or whatever. So when you look at this music timeline over time, in the 1950s, it mainly was jazz music. It was the music that was the big one. Then pop music started to come in. Then came rock music. And through the 1970s, it was mainly pop and rock. Now it's this polluted fountain has now, you know, brought forth many streams and tributaries from. Now we've got alternate music, got hip-hop music, we've got whatever, you know, Latin, you've got heavy metal, you've got reggae, and you've got gospel music in there, Christian gospel music in there. So you've got all these different Christian rock music comes in under the same type of music. But in its essence, it's all the same music through the effect it has on the human body. That this is not music that is in any way kosher or can be made kosher. The underlying beat, the underlying principles of the music make it an anomaly in music. And that's why these musicians, they don't even have to understand music. In days gone by, when Beethoven, he made his Fifth Symphony, when people wrote the classics of music, the hymns and so forth, you know, the classic Christian songs that have been a blessing through the ages, even the composition of the music was a masterpiece. The harmony and how everything blended and worked together with the lyrics, you know, that is really needs skill to make a masterpiece like that. But anybody can just get loud music, a throbbing beat, you know, as long as they're good-looking people, long hair, you know, dress in a certain way, play certain types of music, and get people to respond to it. Because you don't need musical skill to write rock music, because it's not the lyrics that is going to capture the people. That's not what they're trying to do. Now, let's just have a look. Now, this is Travis Scott. And just so you people will know some of the kinds of music that are going around. Now, look at the people and look at this. I hope it'll play. If it doesn't play, please just let me know. I think it's going to skip a little bit. You notice the same beat, they put the lights, they got the volume, and there's that beat behind it. There's that throb, there's an incessant beat. And there's all the strange things that are taking place. You're going to find whatever type of music we're speaking about here, you're going to find it's got these same characteristics. Look at this. This is house music. To people who don't know what house music is, I'm glad if you don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, party people, make some noise.
See the beat, see the repetition. Now, saints, we all look at that, especially us that have been believers for a while. But when your children, those that have got children that are backslid, go to the clubs, that is the music they're listening to. And that is that music now, that beat, that incessant throbbing beat, that heartbeat of Satan, like we're saying, is doing something. It's bypassing the way that they normally would rationally look at things. It's starting to stimulate them sexually. It starts to stimulate them in an aggressive manner. You know, it starts to work inside of the mind, inside of the body. You find they start to, you know, people get caught up because of this kind of music. That is house music. I mean, it's like if you really think of it, this is a kind of music you'd really think you'd find in trouble. I'm a dream of the ocean, and the waves taking over. You know, it's really, really a sad thing to think of that, but all of us were in that before the Lord redeemed us, and we really do thank the Lord. I'm going to show you just one more genre. This is all links into rock music. This is techno music. Now, this is really weird music, but this is so popular. Is that music? It's just incessant, doom, 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 doom. And it's discordant as well. It's going against the rhythms of your body. You're going to listen to that for a while. You're going to start feeling hyped up in your body. You're going to start feeling your heart literally is going to beat. Your body is going to start secreting adrenaline. That's been proven because of that beat going against the natural rhythms of your body. That's why you get so hyped up when people go into the clubs and get into that, and they get so much in the mood of what they're doing. But this is techno music. What brings you talking? But you'll see it's the beat, it's the beat, it's the beat. People aren't going to those clubs to listen to the music, the words don't mean much. The music, rock music, is to the body. That's what it is. And it's not to your mind. It's not the lyrics. It's the music. It's the beat. You have to feel it. You don't hear it. You feel it. It's got to resonate with inside of you. But people don't realize what that resonation is all about. So there's all different types of music. I'm not going to get much into that. But just to finish off, I'd like to look at... Sorry, I'm just going to have to start playing my slide again if I can get to it. Play. Okay. We can go past that. What about Christian rock? Now let's get into Christian rock, because I'm just believing it. None of us are involved in all those other types of music, but just to show this polluted fountain of this kind of music. Now, gospel music, 90% of Christian music now, they've done a study, is rock music in one form or the other. At least 90%. So most of what is Christian music has got this rock beat. It's a rock genre behind it. It's got this fingerprint behind it. I'm going to give you some examples to show you. So my thought here is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, we'll see it next time when you get onto the temple, we get onto music in the Bible, but you will find out that sacred music is sacred music. Sacred words must be put to sacred music. You don't take profane music. That was disallowed in the Bible. You don't take the unclean music of Babylon. Psalm 137 is, you know, they asked us to sing a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can't take the Lord's music, the word of God, and put it in a strange land like rock music. You can't do that. But 90-something percent of Christian music is this. It's mixing these two things that are incompatible in themselves. Rock music is aggressive. Rock music is rebellious. Rock music is sensual in its very essence and beat and makeup. Its design is like that, which is exactly the opposite of what a Christian should be. Our music should minister us to rest in Christ, should minister us to worship. So you've got to make sure that the style of music matches what we're trying to achieve here. Doesn't mean it must be all slow music. Doesn't mean it must always be hymns. No, we saw that last time in the book of Psalms. The Psalms is all marching music, faster music, slower music. But we'll see it when you get into the book of Psalms. There were only specific instruments were allowed, and they had to be played in a certain way. Because the most important thing with the lyrics was the word. It's only the word that has life. So when you're speaking of Christian rock, you can't actually put that together. I don't know what they call it, that when you put two incompatible words, an oxymoron or whatever. It's something you can't have Christian rock. Like a prophecy, you can't have a drunk sober man. You can't have Christian rock. You know, you can have rock music with Christian words. Doesn't make it Christian rock. Now, here are some of the top Christian songs from 2021. I'm just going to show you just a few of them. And watch this one first, which I find is a really interesting one, because you'll find the song And they, most of the time, they do, even with Hillsong, even at Hillsong Unlimited, the song starts nicely. And you'll say, hey, these guys are actually singing a nice song for a change. And then you see, this is Katie Nicole. Listen as it goes, and I'll play the beginning of the song. I'll just take it a little bit in here.
Burning in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray. Pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name.
So it's not bad. You say, but that's not a bad song. Okay, now let's just move a little bit.
I pray that a break, declaring blessings every promise.
Here comes the beat. And you'll find that almost all the time. You know, just for some reason, they can't just keep a nice melody, a nice harmony, a nice rhythm of the music going. They've got to bring it into the rock music. And then the song goes off into the rock music and finishes off in the rock genre like that. It's a very sad thing to see. You know, you can keep going on that one there. But, okay, let me give another example of, now this is, yeah, and some of the young people will know this music. I get shocked sometimes when I hear the music that the young people listen to. And honestly, since I was quite embarrassed about some of the music, when I went back and looked at this and looked at some of the music I had, I said, yay, I need to purge some of this stuff. You know, you start getting relaxed and allow some leaven to come in. This is Lion. Elevation Worship. I'm going to take it in a little bit. See the rock beat there? Oh, they got there. That's the Lion of Judah.
Lion roar, hell, Lion of Judah. Let the lion...
You see, it's the incessant beat. It's the drums. You'll find there's the volume there. It's the electric guitars. It's the lights. It's the reaction of the people. Look at the way the people are behaving. Exactly the same at the rock concert. Look, there's no difference. I think you're starting to see sense, and I really do understand, and I realize, I know there's going to be people that are going to be saying, but sense, I think we really need to just look at this a little bit deeper. Yeah, I'd never gone as deep into it as I did this time. Before, we've gone into it, but this time I really wanted to understand. When Brother Branham said, keep that rock and roll music out of your church. Yeah, I had really wanted to, and I never fully understood it until this time. And I took a lot of time this time trying to find out, what is rock? What is rock and roll? What is it now? What makes rock music? Why is it whenever the prophet would go into a place, they'd play, he'd even offer to, when they were playing the jukebox with the rock and roll music, when he went with his family in the restaurant, he said, ask the lady, okay, how much do the children pay for that jukebox? Let me pay you that amount of money for the next hour and you turn it off so we can at least just have time with the family. Because that music, it so much disturbed him because he was such a spiritual man. He lived in that heavenly dimension so much that very beat of the music, it disturbed him. Yeah. And I used to say, but what is it? I never understood fully. But now I really thank the Lord for a bit of a better understanding. And I pray the Lord will help us. So these are the real big Christian songs at the moment. I'll show one more here because I'll take it for our colored brethren. This is when you get black gospel, what it's becoming now. This is Dependable featuring Daryl Walls.
Thank you for saving me.
Let's say thank you for saving me.
Bring it to the stage.
Thank you. The for one, the only.
But notice, saints, the lights, notice the set, you're going to find the smoke, the strobe lights. This has got nothing to do with the gospel. Where did this come from? It came directly from the rock concerts, directly from that polluted stream. Now I'm going to go to 330 here just to show you where it comes to. It starts off a little bit decent and then it gets into. I listen to the drums, listen to the beat. Sense, it's not the words. They're just repeating the same words. You are dependable. You are dependable. You are dependable. So no one is listening to that music because of the words. There's no inspiration in those words. It's not like we're taking the Psalms of David, where David wrote songs based on an experience, and then he wrote powerful words and then set those words to music. That's Christian music. Now, that's sacred music. But here the guys have just found a beat. They've just found music with their amps, with their guitars, with their synthesizers, with their drums, a rhythmic beat behind them. They're just saying, you are dependable, you are dependable. And people will go there and say, this was a wonderful time that you had of worship. Not realizing it's nothing to do with worship there. That's not worship. Yeah. All that is doing, we'll see it next time, is ministering to you. That's just ministering to a natural man. It's making you release opioids and these things so that you feel good when you listen to that kind of music. But it's a sad thing when you see that some of these people are just so very, very popular. What about one more? This is Marizu.
Oh, yeah.
The creator.
Thinking about love,
See the beat coming straight in.
Love. I like you, yeah. For all that you are, I give. There's no one like you.
There's no one like you, you know. Saints, you could, like they say, you could just change that pronoun and not have a capital letter, and you could sing it in the world. There's no one like you singing to a girl. You just put a capital letter, you bring it in the Christian world. There's no one like you. You say you're singing it to the Lord, and you can sell a lot of records to the Christians. Because why? Because our worldly taste is still there for that kind of music. So we try to find something to minister to the worldly taste, and it's got Christian words, so we say, this is wonderful. That's exactly the mistake. I was playing it to our guys at home. Yesterday, I was saying, when I first got into the Pentecostal church, when I got saved, I had a very good friend of mine, and I was his disciple. I've spoken of him before, PJ, very great guy. And he said to me, what kind of music did you like in the world? So I told him, I liked heavy metal, I liked Bruce Springsteen and stuff. Then he said, okay, let me find you the Christian equivalent. And he gave me Petra. I should have put it on here now and played you Petra. In fact, if you give me a second, let me just show you how it can be quite deceiving when new people come. So I came, and here, Petra, let everything that has breath. This was the music that they gave me to listen to. It's a Christian music. Listen to the word. You know, so I know what it's like that you come with a worldly taste into the faith. And instead of people taking you away from the music of Babylon and getting you now sanctified and enjoying the music of the promised land, instead we say, look, let's just find Christian artists that sing the same music but put Christian words to it. But that is nothing but rock music. It just is. And I was 100% guilty of that. Yeah, and I, it took some time to realize that. Let's come to a close, just finishing off now. I'll put, you wouldn't know about it, but I'll just go to this one here and start my slideshows again. Sorry, I just can't see it because of this guy here. Play. This is Christian party mix. So you get, if you want house music, you want rave, that's okay. You come from the world, no problem. We'll just give you the Christian equivalent as well. That's why I showed you that kind of music before from the world. Now let's just bring it and show you can get exactly the same thing in the Christian life, in the Christian realm.
So while you learn the ropes,
you hold the world inside your hands.
God of glory, you are wonderful, wonderful.
Your love lifts me high, brought me back into my life. Ain't nobody love me like you.
You see the beat, you see the very essence of the music. It's rock music behind it. See, there's your dance, there's your rave. I can really see some people laughing there. I really hope they're going to take these things off their phone after this, you know. I didn't even know there was such Christian music until today when I went to find the equivalents of the worldly music in the Christian realm. And you find these are very popular things. I never, ever believed that. Oh, friends, it's a sad thing. That's why once in a while when you find a nice song, it makes such a difference. You really do appreciate it. So when you find something like this, just somebody playing just genuine, good melody. Doesn't have to be solo, but refreshing, inspiring. Since the reason I finished off with that one is I didn't want to finish off with the worldly music. You know? I didn't want that one, the worldly music to be the main one. That's why I just wanted to put that on there. So I think you can just see, Saints, where we're just trying to get to here. We're just trying to show there's so much you could show. I mean, we could spend a lot of time. I don't want to do that. On this one of the physical effects of rock music, you know, of your reggae, the hip hop, your beat, your rave, your indie, whatever type of music that it is, you find that the core feature behind it is the beat, is the rhythm and the beat. And that is exactly in discord to the rhythms of your body. And that's why it makes you behave the way that you do. That's why it makes your body react the way that it does. That's why it makes even your brain waves fall into pattern. That's why you react to the music the way that you do. Because this music, the very source of where it came from, is from him who fell, who's a fallen being. And therefore, like we said last week, the very frequency of inspiration of music that comes from his kingdom is discord. With genuine music, even if it's not Christian music, but genuine music that's, you know, has got a, somebody who sat down and they put the music in an orderly fashion. You know, they've brought it out like that. You can listen to that kind of music. It doesn't grieve you. It doesn't affect you the way that this kind of music does. But because of the very nature of rock, which was rock and roll, which has come into all these different genres of music now, the very essence of what the music is, the structure of the music and the effects it has on any single person who listens to it disqualifies this kind of music from being used in the things of the Lord. I hope you can really see what I'm trying to say on that, because that's what we'll get into next time. You know, this kind of music, especially in the house of the Lord, that's why, you know, the instruments we use in the house of the Lord, the way we play the instruments, that is very, very important. You know, we want it to be, everything we do to be consecrated to the Lord. We don't want to follow the world. We want to be separate from the world. So may the Lord help us next time. We'd like next time now to trace music through the Bible and take it right through the book of Revelation and go, what songs do they sing? What is the music that they play? You know, take it through the temple. Take it through the synagogue. How did the Lord order music in the Bible? Because God loves music and God wants it done in a certain way. But friends, we can't play the Lord's songs in a strange land. And we can't take the strange fire and bring it into the Lord's land. We've got to keep these things completely separate. So may the Lord help us on that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we look to you for grace, Lord. Just wanted to humble ourselves before thee. Lord, Father, we realize how easy it is to allow this kind of leaven to come in. And Lord, it's only you that can give us grace to show us, Lord, what is good and right and pleasing to you. So won't you guide each and every one of us, Lord, in these things, and give us an understanding, give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us grace, give us mercy. And Lord, help us to be in one accord with you. Father, help our musicians, help our song leaders, help our young people, help each and every one of us, Lord. Father, to walk in the bloody footprints, Lord, and in every aspect of our lives, Lord, to be under your headship, we pray. And may you be blessed and glorified. Bless them on YouTube. Bless them that will listen to this down the way. Help us, Lord, we pray. What wasn't of you, let it fall into the dust. But what was of you, let it be established in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. I'm almost scared to ask for questions today.
thank you, brother.
That was good, sir.
Oh, sorry, bro.
Thank you, very much.
Yes, bro. Will. Thanks, bro. George. Bro. Will.
Thank you so much. It was really good. Sorry, our camera is looking up there, but it was really good. And it's one of those areas where, you know, door in doors, you know.
Yes.
Where people say, this is my personal music, you know. You've got nothing to do with it. But I think most people get confused by the fact that they confuse feeling good with worship.
Yes, absolutely.
They think that this music makes me feel good, therefore it must be good.
Amen, amen.
But feeling good is completely separate from worshiping God. And me, that's how I always measure music. When I listen to a song, does it want me to worship God more?
Amen, that's it, bro. That's it.
To love his people more. If it just makes me feel good and make me feel like, oh, I'm invincible and what, then that's completely out. And that's what rock music does, you know.
Absolutely, bro. Yes, bro.
So I really appreciated that Bible study. May God bless you.
Thanks, bro. Absolutely. You've really hit it on the head, bro. Well, it's like, if you think of rock music, it's like morphed into pop music, yeah? Mm-hmm. Pop music is popular music. Now, the people, they want to be popular. So, yes. You know, it's not like us. We want our music to glorify God. We're not trying to sell music. You know, so we're not exploiting people. We're not trying to find something that people will just respond to. We're not trying to do that. Our motive and our objective, like Brother George or Brother Vlad, whoever's the song leader, the musicians, or people who make Christian music, we want to worship God. You know, so our motive and objective is right. Lady Gaga and all of those kinds of people, they don't care about the people. They just want to make the money. You know, so they're trying to find something. They don't care if it hurts the people, harms the people. They just want it to be popular. So whatever it's going to take to be popular, if it's going to need extreme things, most foolish lyrics, you know, the music videos that are so strange and all of that, that's all they want to do is be popular because it's pop music. That's how you find pop music. The words, the lyrics are so shallow. They're so foolish most of the time. Even when we were young, I mean, there's Sister Roseanne there. She would have known even in my parents' day, how much is the doggy in the window? You know what I mean? That kind of music. It was pop music. It's not serious music. It's like, what's that got to do with it? I remember the Police when I was young, and they were the big guys, yeah? Sting and the Police. It was Walking on the Moon. That was the big song, Giant Steps or What I Take, Walking on the Moon. I mean, you think of it, what's Walking on the Moon got to do with it? That it was the music, and it just ministered to the fallen person, and it became a sensation, and he made a fortune from that. So, you know, pop music, it just wants to be popular. It'll do anything it can to be popular. And like you're saying, it's got one objective, to entertain people. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to be careful in church. We don't entertain people. It's like when I come to preach, if I just want to make the people happy, I'm not going to please the Lord. If I come to church to entertain people, I'm not being faithful to the calling which the Lord has inside of my life. The main thing I do, I've got to minister to the people. And if I minister to the people, the result I want is to bring them to worship, to bring people to repentance, to bring people to love the Lord. So there's a big difference between entertainment and worship. Amen. But like you've hit the nail on the head, Brother Wilmer, entertainment makes people feel good. So young people that are not born again in church, they don't want worship, they want entertainment. So when the song leader gets up there and starts playing fast songs, fast songs, fast songs, everybody gets excited. They're enjoying that because they're being entertained. But let the music slow down and come to worship now, people fall asleep. You know, it's a sad thing when you see that. So we've got to, as ministers and musicians and song leaders and ministers as well, we've got to be faithful to the Spirit of God. We're not entertaining people. We're not there just to make people feel good. We want people to get in the Spirit, because when people get in the Spirit, they feel good when they're in the presence of the Lord. That's the kind of feeling good that we're wanting. But we can bring music to church. We can play this kind of music like all the churches just about are doing now. Now we have the lights and we have all the smoke and all of that. Yeah, and the young people feel good and they go home feeling good, just as people coming from a rock concert feel good. People coming from Bon Jovi felt good, Van Halen felt good, Metallica, they feel good. Any of these worldly guys, you might go to, what's his name? The guy who's got his own church now, what's his name? Kanye West. You go to him, you'll come away feeling good, because that music ministers to your flesh. It makes you feel good. So we cannot... And you've made a perfect point, Brother Wilmer. We cannot judge our music because it makes us feel good. Nope, that's not the measure stick we can use. That's not the Urim and Thummim. Genuine music is for the glory of God and for the edification of the people of God. We'll get into that by the grace of God next time. That's the result genuine Christian music should have and should be. Brother George, you wanted to say something, bro?
It was good. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
You're breaking a bit, bro.
Did you hear me? I said that was good. Thank you very much.
Okay, bro. Anything to add? Anything you wanted to say, bro? Georgie, then, no? You okay, yeah?
No. I don't say it. I don't steal from it. There's enough said there. Yeah. So just leave it as is. Thank you very much.
Thanks, bro. Like I said, saints, as we finish off, if there's no more questions. Brother Sasha, God bless you, bro. You're more than welcome. Oh, sister, God bless.
It's sister this time.
Oh, sister, God bless.
God bless you, brother. So I just wanted to thank you for this, and you really showed it well. And it reminded me of that quote when the prophet says about television, that it's from very pits of hell. So this, you know, when you see these lights and dark and so, yeah. That one sentence explains it all, you know.
Amen.
So.
That's absolutely, sister. Thank you, sister. That's very true. Amen. God bless you, sister. That's very, very true. Brother Sasha, you wanted to say something as well? I'm sure. No. Okay. Thank you very much. God bless. I think... the Bible says you need to be in the world, but not of the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we need to come to the world from the worldly taste, the process of sanctification. First, we're justified, we're forgiven of our sin. But even when you're forgiven, you still have a worldly taste. Sanctification now takes you from a worldly taste to a holy taste, where you love the things of the Lord. But friends, there's so many gray areas in this. There's so many, you know, things that are almost there. Like I'm showing those musicians there, they play some very good music and then they play the serious extreme stuff just after that. And you know, I think that's where this is quite muddy water. So may the Lord really grant us wisdom and grace to make it clearer and clearer. John Hegarty says, when the music stops, that as goes the singing, when the music stops. Yeah, I mean, I like it sometimes, even when Brother George does it at church, when you just stop with the music and say, let's sing a cappella. You know, when you sing a song and you stop the music and let people sing. And we'll see it next time, really, what the real instrument the Lord wants is your voice. You know, he really does. Something coming from your heart, that's the real instrument. All the other instruments should assist in that, should facilitate in that, in the process of worshiping him. And then we know that we're heading at least in the right direction. Now, as on any topic, saints, like I said, your questions, if people are too shy to ask the questions now, please send them to me. It does help. Oh, Brother Greg, you wanted to say something there? Please, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I just want to go. I don't know, later on, just give others a chance. You see, it's interesting about even all this music. You said it before, and I think Brother George says one time that sometimes when I talk to people, you know, they says, you know, this music. I said, okay, yeah. So how about if you have, you know, everything is, you know, good. Yeah, it's okay. So how about if you have a good lyrics? How about if you have a good rhythm? How about you have a good everything? All the strings matches to make a Christian gospel music, let's say. But how about if behind the corner you hear somebody singing and all those three things matches, and it's a Lucifer behind the corner who sings the song? Yeah, you see, so all those things kind of matches. If you don't even know who sings the song, you know. Some Presley sing the Christian songs, and absolutely, that doesn't make you know, they make you could feel good or maybe even work on your emotions. But if the person who sings the song, it's not right, if I can put that way. That's another thing to make a worship song. But another thing I want to say, remember when I was talking to somebody, I was talking to my mom, and she was, you know, exercising, you know, trying to keep her line, whatever, yeah? And she said, oh, it's very good. It's actually helping me so much when I'm listening to Queen, when I'm going on my orbit something.
Yeah.
I said, what? I said, no, yeah, it's that kind of good rhythm. It makes me go, you know, it's kind of that rhythm that puts your body, even if you don't feel like,
yeah,
the music will make you go that step further.
That's
as right. Well,
that's true, bro. That's what it does.
You see, even that music what you were playing, I said, it's almost like Brother Andrew got my old stuff. I listen everything, you know, from Metallica and all of kind of things. And if I, brother, see, I wouldn't be kind of scared to give you my phone, like you said in the beginning. I said, brother, look, not boasting. I'm just kind of saying by the testimony for the glory of God, how God changed my taste. And those things that taste before doesn't taste anymore. But it's, brother, serious stuff with this rock. I used to remember that I was in my concert myself, brother. And I was in the front stage and I see what those guys doing. They're calling a windmill, I think, or something. You know, when you go there and they kind of go in the circles beating, you know. Serious stuff going on, brother, and that's what that music produces. It works on your, like you explained, brother, very well. So I really thank you, brother, because sometimes we could, you know, a loud bit here and there, you know, and say, no, it's okay. This one, it's okay, you know, but brother, this is okay.
Yeah, I think so, brother. I don't know. Each person's got to find their own balance on it. Each person's got to find their own, you know, their own judgment on it in the end. But I think as long as we know the ground rules, we know the principles clearly. As long as you know enemy territory and we know the Lord's land, you know, and it's clear, then we can start to divide and find, okay, does it, this fit here or does it fit there? Which when you're not exactly sure, because, I mean, all of these guys like Hillsong, they've built their churches on the music. And you find it in the message as well. You know, you find these churches that are just so much built on the music. Yeah, and you just see that, I don't really know if that's the right thing that we should be building things on is on the music. You know, whereas Hillsong now, they've based everything on that kind of music. Yeah, and so people start thinking, okay, so like I'm saying, maybe music is neutral, but it's been proven now scientifically, physically, medically, psychologically that music is not neutral. Music can either, in a way, heal you or it can make you sick. You know, music can do that. Music, like you're saying, can either refresh you or can make you aggressive. Music can either help you to overcome your passion. or it can feed your passion. It can make the hormones now, you know, stimulate those. So now the style of music does something in each of body, soul, and spirit. And we've got to be careful about that. So I think just a clearer understanding of that is all that I'm trying to do, so that we're a little bit careful not to think that, look, it doesn't really matter what the music is, the beat is. It doesn't really matter, you know, who the artist is, as long as it's Christian words. That's got nothing to do with it. I mean, hey, that's like saying it doesn't matter who is standing on the corner preaching. Doesn't matter the lifestyle. Doesn't really matter, you know, how they live their life. You know, we can just accept them as somebody who comes from the Lord. It doesn't work like that, and especially with music. So may the Lord help us, saints, and especially this upcoming generation, because yeah, it catches them. Remember, we read the quote last week that rock and roll music, that beat. You can understand it more and more as you dig into it, how it catches that young one as sure as the world if they don't have the new birth. Now, the fallen nature just responds to this kind of music. We haven't even got into the spiritual side. We're just speaking about the natural side of the music at the moment. And if the natural side can really do these kind of things to people without realizing it, what about when there's an anointing? What about when there's a spirit behind music as well? I mean, I don't think it's anything to play around with. That's why I so do appreciate Brother George, Brother Vlad, the musicians, song worship. You know, we don't have all these problems by the grace of God, because these brothers have really kept the standard. And may the Lord continue to help us to be watchmen on the wall, just watching out to make sure nothing sneaks in there. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Like I said, I was honest this week. I went through all my playlists. You know, I've got Spotify. They gave me a free trial for 6 months. So I was listening to a lot of my Christian music. But I went through my playlist, and there were certain songs I just beamed off there straight away. I said, hey, that was a compromise. I shouldn't have put that on there. You know, it was an entertaining song. It was a nice song when you're driving and you get a little bit tired. But when you really listen to the beat of that music, you say, but hey, I wouldn't like to play that song if Jesus was there. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable. And then if in any doubt, it's better. Let's purge the leaven. You know, just like at the Passover, once a year, the Jews go through the house, have a spring cleaning time. They purge all the leaven from their home, all the wrong influence, all the things that are questionable. I think it's good to get rid of them, because God has plenty of good music out there. You know, God has many of his children that are greatly inspired in music in every generation. So we thank the Lord for the music that really does minister to us, and may long continue to do so. So God bless you, saints. If you've got any questions, please do let us know. It does help us a lot as we channel things in the right direction. Maybe Brother Greg, because you spoke there, you could pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, I just would like to thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a faithful servant, Lord, who just stay in the gap, and even himself, as he said, Lord, study even more than ever to just understand those things that we could understand. Those things much better, Lord. You built our precious brother that way that we could just benefit from it, Lord Jesus, but could be very easy just to apply this, Lord Jesus, in a way just of hearing, not listening, Lord Jesus. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn the lesson and then just see, Lord Jesus, our playlist, our music that we listen, Lord, that we will be pleasing unto you, Lord Jesus, because the music that we listen, which if my attitude is just to feel entertained and just feel good about myself, put few songs, Lord Jesus, just to boost myself up, what's the point, Lord? All this Amen. Should be, Lord Jesus, Amen. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Music can heal. Music can do a lot of good things if it's applied right, Lord. So please, Lord Jesus, help us, search us, Lord Jesus, that we will know that you will tell us which is right, which is wrong, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, when for the next week, Lord Jesus, it will be given to us, Lord Jesus. Anoint your servant, Lord Jesus. Give him, Lord Jesus, understanding heart that he could, Lord Jesus, put things in the notes, Lord Jesus, that we could understand and hear next time the way it should be said, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every single person who gathered today, Lord Jesus. If we're struggling with this, all of us, Lord Jesus, please, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, that the next time, Lord Jesus, we will understand more and we will learn more, Lord. Those ones who couldn't make it today, Lord Jesus, bless them, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful weekend. If we don't meet you until Wednesday, the rest of the saints will meet you down the way. Roseanne, God bless.
God bless.
May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. God bless.
Bye.
God bless.
God bless you. God bless, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Look at that. Brian Greg. Doing is getting big, yeah.
Amen, brother. You're growing too fast, you know.
Amen.
And by the sounds of it, if God don't do a miracle, that'll be the last one. So I don't know. I better enjoy it, you know.
Amen. We never know. So, well, you never know.
I like what you said one time. You said you didn't plan another one, but God have a different plan.
That's right. I mean, Benjamin was the last born. I mean, Benjamin was supposed to be the last born because Benjamin was the 12th son of Jacob, but then Timmy came. So we had the 13th son of Jacob. So.
God bless you.
That's how it works. Thank you very much. But we thank the Lord for him, bro. He's a great friend to us. So the Lord knows better than us.